We praise and adore you anyway. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Would you keep your Bibles open to John chapter 20 as we look at these at this passage in a quick way this morning. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says this: I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the exclamation mark on our salvation, on the finished work, the purchase of Christ on the cross. If the tomb is not empty, there is no salvation. If the tomb is not empty, Good Friday is anything but good. In fact, it is the deepest of tragedies in all of history. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaks of this, if Christ is not risen. And he says this: if Christ be not raised, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. Our faith is futile. And you and I are still in our sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have already perished. And we of all people, we believers in Jesus Christ, are to be pitied above all else. And then he says, but in fact, Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If Christ's resurrection is the exclamation mark on our salvation, is it any wonder that throughout history, men and women have sought to invalidate the resurrection of Jesus Christ by any number of different theories? The swoon theory that says that Jesus actually didn't die and that he had the strength in and of himself to push the stone away and fight the guards and rise, and that he didn't actually rise. Or the wrong tomb theory, that they actually went to the wrong tomb and got it all wrong. Or the hallucination theory, that all the people that saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ were simply hallucinating in their sorrow. Or the ghost theory, that he actually didn't rise bodily, but that he was simply a ghost. And for each of these, there's lots of textual and historical evidence, which I don't have the time to go through this morning. But the easiest way for the Jews and the Romans to disclaim, to break away from all of these rumors, to prove that Christ was dead, was to reveal the body. And yet, that's exactly what they don't do. Now, there are those who would come to this final theory, that the body isn't there because the disciples have stolen the body, the stolen body theory, that they overcame the Roman guards, that they stole the body, that they buried it somewhere else, and they proclaimed Christ as risen. Now, it's interesting that psychologists will say that there are many people who will die for a lie, believing it is the truth. But rarely is there a person who would die for a lie that they know is a lie and which they fabricated themselves. And yet each of these disciples, except for John and many of the men and women around these events, died horrendous martyr's death proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. And in fact, I would say to you that the transformed lives of the disciples that Jesus meets having risen from the dead is one of the greatest evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. The transformation of individuals, of this small group of people, possibly, just simply, maybe three or four times as many who are present here this morning. The transformation of their lives turned the world upside down as they proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the transformation continues. If you've never seen a miracle, all you need to do is look around you. For each one of us who has been changed and transformed by the finished work of Jesus Christ is a miracle that brings praise and honor and glory to God. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ transforms believers, and since that first Easter morning to this Easter morning, hundreds of millions of men and women have lived and died and had their lives utterly transformed by the power of the resurrection of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And every generation has proclaimed to their generation through the gospel, through the word of God, and through the transformed lives of individuals, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we live in dark times where it seems that the light of the gospel, especially in the church, is barely flickering in the darkness. Our passage this morning begins in the dark. We are told that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. But John, who is the author of the gospel, began the gospel account proclaiming, speaking of Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And once again, light pierces the darkness. This time not with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the rising of the Son of God from death. And in our passage this morning, there are a number of eyewitnesses to the resurrection who are going to serve us in three different ways this morning. First of all, they're going to bear witness to the life ministry, eyewitness to the life ministry and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, in their stories, in this encounter, they help us to see ourselves with our past, our fears, our doubts, our sins, and through them and their transformation, they preach to us the risen Lord Jesus Christ that brings light into darkness. And then finally, they challenge us to live our lives in dark days in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to focus on the last two of these three, but I want you to recognize that these are eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And each one of them gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose again. And maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't believe that he died on the cross for your sin. And maybe you don't believe in the resurrection. Then let their lives challenge you to look into the claims of Jesus, to honestly investigate the validity of his life, his death, and the reality of his resurrection for yourselves. Do so honestly, with the desire to know one way or the other. Because this event is the ultimate event on which the faith of every Christian rests. But these individuals also preach to us. They don't simply bear eyewitness. And the beauty of this passage is actually found in the people who are meeting the risen Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. And that encounter with Jesus then, and the encounter that Jesus desires now, has a transforming power to change us. Most of these people have been beatified by the Catholic Church. Therefore, we know them as Saint Mary, Saint Peter, Saint John, Saint Thomas. But it's vital to recognize that before they were saints, they were sinners. And they were transformed from sinners to saints, not by the beatification of a church, but by the transformation encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, if you this morning are in Christ Jesus, you too, right now, are a saint. And my wife laughed. No. But that's the true reality, for the Lord God himself sees you and I through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in which you and I are robed. And Paul in Ephesians says that even at this present time, and we don't know how in the mystery of salvation, right now we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And therefore today, we too are invited to an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you might ask, who's invited? Because maybe there's a question in your mind. Who's invited to this encounter? Well, you're invited if you have a horrid past. If your past is so riddled with brokenness and sin, so vile and ugly that you can never, ever proclaim it to anyone for the sake of shame that would come upon you, you're invited to the empty tomb. Come with Mary Magdalene. Isn't it just like God to go totally against the norms of cultural and society in which the testimony of a woman was not even valid in the courts of law? It was inadmissible. But by the grace of God, the first person to see and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ was a woman. Mary Magdalene, a woman with a past. But Mary was just not any woman. She had had a sordid past. We know from Scripture that she was described as a person who had a sordid past and from whom Jesus had vanquished or cast out seven demons. And Mary had become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ after she had been delivered from sin and from the demon's power. And she had supported Christ's ministry and followed him and been an eyewitness to all of those events. But she was also an eyewitness to the death of Jesus Christ. And that morning she came not to a sunrise service to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. She was coming to anoint a body. And in the darkness as she came, maybe the thoughts were, was it really true? I saw him die. What does that mean for my sinful past? Will the demons return with a vengeance now that Christ is no longer? And as she comes to the tomb, she turns around and she sees Jesus. Thinking that he is the gardener, she asks him where he has laid the Lord Jesus Christ in a simple word. Her life is transformed. Mary. And Jesus proclaims her name. And in that moment, the sun rose into her darkness and transformed it in ways that she could never have ever imagined. Isn't it wonderful the power of calling a name? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, Mary. And she is transformed before the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning you feel like Mary. Before the events where she met Jesus, maybe you don't have a sordid past. Maybe you're living it right now. Maybe you're under the power of sin and of Satan in such a wretched way that you don't know what to do with it. Well, Mary invites you to the place where your past, your sin, your idol worship, your dabbling in darkness, she invites you to place it upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and she invites you to come and see that the tomb is empty. That Christ is risen, and all that you placed upon him is no longer present, but has been cast in the sea of forgetfulness. Or maybe you're like Peter, as he runs to the tomb, out of breath and out of shape, like many of us. His heart is pounding, not simply because he's out of shape, but his heart is pounding because of what he knows about himself. Jesus had called him, had performed a miracle in his boat, and had called him by name to follow him. And he said, I will make you a fisher of men. Peter had seen all the miracles, even the ones that were private. He was present with James and John at the raising of Jairus' daughter. He had proclaimed with a loud voice, if all else leave you, I will never leave you. And then in his moment of greatest need, Peter fled. And if that was not bad enough, he denied Jesus. After Jesus himself had said, tonight you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And then he had heard of Jesus dying. And now he was dead. And his life had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's running. Does he want it to be true? Does he not want it to be true? What will Jesus say? Will he look past him and simply say, next? But after all, the instructions that Mark tells us in his gospel were, go and tell the disciples and Peter. But what's that going to look like for him? And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe once you believed, maybe even with great joy. Maybe you loved coming to church, to Sunday school, and you loved Christ, and then one day you woke up and you were too old for that. You had grown out of it, grown out of Christ, and you took your inheritance and you went and you spent it all on wild living. This morning you wonder if you can come back. You wonder, my life is denied. Yeah, people believe I'm a Christian. I'll even say it if they ask me that I am, but my life speaks a different truth. And am I invited? Can I come? Well, Peter invites us to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who later on will meet him at a beach and 3 times ask him, do you love me, Peter? And 3 times will once again call him to what he had called him to at the very beginning. And how wonderful that the Lord Jesus, who knows what we're going to do in the denial of our lives, invites us once again to himself. And it's Peter at Pentecost, who rises in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, who has been transformed from a denier to a declarer, who has no problem speaking of his sin because it's been taken from him. And so if you're a denier, you'll say it, but you're not living it. Come with Peter. live out the parable of the prodigal son. Come to the Father through the Son. Come to the empty tomb. Embrace Christ. Leave it all once again and follow Him. Maybe you're here and you're much like the disciples on the night of that first Easter Sunday. Verses 9 through 23 says that they had locked the doors in fear of the Romans. Maybe you live in fear in this day where we can't open our mouth, where it used to be a respected reality to be a Christian, to go to church, to live out the gospel, to be morally pure and holy because of what God has done. But today, it's an alternative lifestyle. And we fear man. And we cover up our Christianity because we're afraid and we're fearful. And this morning we need an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That in our fear, in this dark day, He will speak peace to you and peace to me, and allow the power of the resurrection to change you with the peace and the love of God, that perfect love that casts out fear. And allow Him to send you out even unto death with what peace that will last, with a peace that will last for eternity. Allow the resurrection to transform you to get on with your life, to not waste it, to not back away, but go where God has called you in the strength that He has given you today. Finish hard and rest for eternity. Allow God to transform your fear into boldness in living and proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe you're a Thomas. Thomas, the patron saint of Missouri. Show me. I'm glad someone got that. Thank you, Ken. I worked hard on that all day yesterday. Thomas, who we call a doubter, but he actually wants to know, is this a verifiable fact? And be it doubt, or be it, I'm going to hang my hat on what is true and real, what I can touch and feel. The Lord Jesus comes to him in the midst of his doubt and says, peace be with you. Thomas, come, put your fingers in the holes in my hand and put your hand in my side. And Thomas doesn't need anymore. He just worships Christ, my Lord and my God. And Thomas, in that moment, in that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, his doubts are transformed into belief, his unbelief into belief. And maybe you have doubts, and maybe you have fears, and maybe you are unbelieving. We'll bring it to Christ. It doesn't surprise him. He already knows. And guess what? He's big enough to handle it. He can take it. He can take your yelling. He can take your questions. He can take your shaking your fist at him. At one point in time, whether you believe it or not, we've all done that to Christ. And he is greater than even that. If the resurrection of Jesus tells us anything, it tells us that God is greater and that He has called us and transformed us for the purpose for coming to Him and to take upon Himself all that we give Him. That for which He died on the cross, which He rose victorious from death. God is greater than your doubt. The risen Lord Jesus is greater than your unbelief. The risen Lord Jesus is greater than your sordid past and the vileness of your sin. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is greater than the inconsistency of your life, and he can change that. He is greater than your fear. He is greater than your sin. He is greater than death. And so each one of these encounters invites us through our personal story, where you are at today. Jesus is eager to meet you exactly where you're at. Don't hide. Don't pretend. Come, open your heart, your life. Come to him and allow him to change and transform you. But these people also challenge us, especially those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are they eyewitnesses and they preach, but they challenge. Their lives, transformed by the power of Christ and by his resurrection, are lived and intended to live to bear witness to others of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have got it all wrong in America. If you think that Christ died and rose again, that you can have your best life now, you are listening to heresy. The Apostle Paul says this: I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share in his suffering, to be like him in his death, that by all means I may attain to the resurrection of life. That doesn't preach well in a culture that's all about me, myself, and I. But guess what? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And when it becomes about you and it becomes about me, we hide Christ for others who are desperately in need of the power of the gospel to transform them. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have lives transformed for the glory of God to proclaim and to declare and to display that glory of Christ to a dark world. So I exhort you this morning. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're not excited about it. You know why? Because you're not declaring how your life has been transformed. And the more you don't declare and the more you don't display the glory of God in your own life, the more it simply becomes humdrum and ordinary and just simple. And after a while, why would anyone else be excited about it? Because you're not. But the cure to that is get out with people who are hopeless. Get out with people who may argue against you. Get out with people who are desperate to know the love of Christ and the power of the resurrection, and share the gospel, and share the gospel through the transformation of your soul, and there will be joy. Because you will read your story once again through the gospel, and you will know once again that you have a purpose that you haven't been living out, and that is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So proclaim, preach to the hope to the hopeless all around you. Preach to the captive trapped in the grip of sin that Christ died and rose again, and the penalty has been taken in the release of the power of sin. Preach it with your life. Preach to those living in darkness and bring the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ into their darkness through your life. Paul says that we have this treasure, the gospel, in jars of clay so that the all-surpassing power of God might be seen at work within us. Jesus said, so let your light shine before men that they may bring your bring glory to your Father in heaven. Go and preach to the vilest of sinners that maybe only you can reach because of your connectedness in the vileness of sin, which for you is no more. Preach to them the wonder of a God who loved them in such a way that he would not spare his only son, but make him sin for us that we might become the righteousness of Christ. Preach to those who are fearful, who live among the tombs and cut themselves daily to know that they're alive. Preach the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ so that they too might find themselves sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right mind. The world desperately needs the good news of the gospel, and we have it displayed in our lives. Ask yourself, is your life so transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he shines through you to proclaim proof for that resurrection and its power to those still sitting in darkness and hopelessness? Can you pray truthfully this resurrection morning with the Apostle Paul that from here on out, from this day forth, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his suffering. I want to be like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Father, may that be the prayer of our heart. And Father, I pray that even now, that if there be any here who has been reflected in the people in this passage, we thank you, Father, that you take ordinary, broken, sinful people with sordid pasts, with doubts and fears and anxieties, and you transform them. And that there is hope for us this morning. And Father, if there be any here who through the external call of a preacher saved by grace alone, a sinner sanctified even this day, that the Holy Spirit may call internally, that Father, you may be pleased to pour out your Spirit upon us, to awaken the dead to life, to awaken the living to living for eternity in the present, that there may even be those this day who will return as a prodigal or who will come for the first time. That there will be elder brothers and Pharisees who will repent of their self-righteousness and fall at the feet of Jesus and rejoice. Father, we thank you for sending Christ to live our life, to die for our sin, our shame, our sorrow, and our sickness, and to rise again from the dead, that we may be transformed in the power of his resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.